I want to welcome the listening audience to the Pastor Study. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. If you've been with me each week, you know that we've been doing a series on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at number 6 today, goodness. But before we begin, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for this opportunity to open up thy very words. And Father, I pray that you'd bless the listener today. Bless the saint of God. I pray that this lesson would help them to grow in the knowledge of the scriptures, to draw closer to thee, Father. I pray, Father, that this study would edify the believer. And I pray for the lost soul that may be listening today, that's never trusted Jesus Christ and his shed blood alone to pay for all their sins, past, present, and future, and secure them a home in heaven. I pray that this would be the very day, from a heart of faith that call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in only his shed blood and nothing else, to save them from going to hell and secure them a home in heaven. Father, we commit this time into thy hand. We just pray you'd have your will and your way in our study today. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray and we give thanks. Amen. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is spoken about in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 to 23. Let's look there. Turn there, if you would. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. And the words of God say this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And so far in our study, we've looked at the fruit of love, the fruit of joy, the fruit of peace, the fruit of long-suffering, and the fruit of gentleness. Today we're going to take up the fruit, goodness. Now, what is goodness? Goodness is a good moral character. It is not always characterized by kind and gentle acts. We ask, why is goodness included as the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Well, just as we have seen so far of the fruit that we've studied, that all of the fruits begin with God. Amen. And we see that why is goodness included as a fruit of the Holy Spirit? Because God is good, number one. God is good. Turn with me in the book of Psalms to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And I want us to look at verse number 68 in Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, verse number 68, the Word of God says, thou art good, and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. And the psalmist here is speaking about God. He says, thou art good. Not only is God good, he says, but he doeth good. And then he asks God to teach him his word. Amen. Jesus even made the statement that God is good. Look with me, if you would, in Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter number 10, we want to look at verse number 18 together. Mark 10, verse 18. Notice what the words of God say. Here we are, Mark 10, verse 18. And Jesus said unto him, amen, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. See? And here we see that individual came to Jesus and called him good master and asked him, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus says to him, why callest thou me good? Amen. There is none good but one, and that is God. And of course, Jesus is God, and he's good. See? And in no way was Jesus diminishing his deity. He was making a statement that he was God. So God cannot be bad, do bad, nor can he sin, because he is good. Yet as good as God is, his goodness causes him to judge sin and punish wrongdoing. Now, in connection with that, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And in Hebrews 12, we want to look together at verses 6 and 7. So even though God's good, his goodness, because he's good, his goodness causes him to judge sin and punish wrongdoing. And we know that he does this with his children. In Hebrews chapter 12, we see in verses 6 and 7, the words of Almighty God have this to say, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? So because God is good, his goodness causes him to judge us when we sin and punish us for our wrongdoing. But a bad father now abuses his children or does not punish them at all. In other words, they raise up, either he's an abuser of his children or he raises brats, spoiled brats, because he lets them do whatever they want. But because we have a good father in our heavenly father, a good father chasteneth his children betimes. In other words, before it's late. He does it soon. So he prevents us from becoming spoiled children. Amen. He doesn't abuse us. He chastens us because he judges our sin and punishes our wrongdoing. So then we won't do it again. Amen. Because we know there will be consequences. So he does this. Whenever we get out of line, whenever we disobey him, whenever we sin against him. So we started and said, why is goodness included as the fruit of the Holy Spirit? And we've just talked about because God is good. Now, the second thing we want to see is Jesus is good. Amen. Because we know, as Jesus said, he and the Father are one. So if God is good, Jesus is good. Turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter number 10. John's Gospel, number 10. And I want us, when you get there, John 10, we want to look together in verses 11 through 14. Amen. Notice what the words of God say in John chapter 10, verses 11 through 14. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So we see that one of the characteristics of a good shepherd, what makes him a good shepherd, and Jesus says he's a good shepherd, is he giveth his life for the sheep. And that's exactly what he did. He gave his life for you and me. Amen. He paid the price so that our sins could be forgiven. So all who would come to him, confess him as their Savior, believe in his heart, amen, that he died, amen, he shed his precious blood, he was buried, and he rose again the third day to save us from going to hell. Then he says, but he that is a hireling and not the shepherd. He's making a comparison here between the shepherd and a hireling, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth them. So we see a hireling is different than a shepherd. Because when he sees the wolf coming to attack, he doesn't protect the sheep. A shepherd protects his sheep. Jesus Christ protects you and I. Amen? So in verse 13 it says, the hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. So the good shepherd stays with us, protects us, doesn't leave us when trouble comes, amen. Jesus is good. He is the good shepherd. See, Jesus gave us another comforter. He said before he left this earth that a comforter would come, who is just like Jesus. And of course, that comforter is none other than the Holy Spirit. So therefore, if Jesus is good, the Holy Spirit is good. And he produces goodness in us, a part of his fruit. Now, as I've said over and over again in our study, as we discussed the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit can only be produced by the Holy Spirit. The believer cannot produce these fruit on his own. It's only as the believer is yielded to on a daily basis the Holy Spirit of God, and he allows on a daily spirit the Holy Spirit of God to control him or her. And that's when these fruit are produced in the believer's life. Other than that, forget about it. A third thing as we look at the fruit of goodness today is you can have this good moral character too, just as Jesus Christ did. You can stand for right, because as Jesus was, so are we to be in this world. Amen. See, that goodness that's produced by the indwelling Holy Spirit, part of that produces a good moral character and helps us to stand for what is right and against what is wrong, just as Jesus did when he was in this world. Look with me in the first epistle of John, in chapter 4, verse 17. We see, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. See? The Apostle John is on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Tells us how our love is made perfect. And it's connected with how we can have boldness in the day of judgment. Amen. The judgment's not going to fall upon us. And the key to all of this, he says, is because as he is, Jesus Christ he's referring to, so are we in this world. So our love is made perfect. We can have boldness in the day of judgment. Amen. Because we ought to stand for what is right and against what is wrong. Just as Christ did when he was in this world, we're to do likewise. We're to follow his example. Amen. You see, Jesus manifested this goodness and standing for right. And that's how we manifest this goodness for standing for right. For example, Jesus manifested this goodness and standing for right when he dealt with the money changers in the temple. Notice with me in Matthew 21. Notice how he dealt with them. Matthew 21 in verses 12 to 13. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. So here we have these people in the temple making a profit, selling things, to be sacrificed, amen, and making money off of it. And he vehemently, strongly, amen, rebukes them to the point where he actually turns over the table of the money changers because they were wrong in what they were doing. Amen. And likewise, he manifested this goodness in standing for right when he dealt with the religious leaders of his day, the Pharisees. Matthew 23. Listen to how he deals with them and he rips into them. And he tells them, and he stands to right and he tells them right over the plate, amen, how wrong they are. Matthew 23, beginning in verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And why does he call them hypocrites? Because, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer you them that are entering to go in. See? He's dealing with them. These scribes and the Pharisees were not saved. And others who looked to them as religious leaders to be saved were damned also because of the Pharisees and the scribes, because of how they behaved in their wrong instruction. He goes on and he says, Woe in verse 14. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisee hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses for a pretense, make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Amen. See, he was dealing against this wrong practice. They would get the widow's house by taking payment. to pray a loved one out of purgatory. Amen. And of course, a person would do anything. Amen. To see their loved one go to heaven. Verse 15, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more a child of hell than yourselves. Amen. So we see here, these scribes and Pharisees have missionary program encircling the globe to win people to their religion. But the people they win are twice as damned. Amen. Verse 16. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. He's admonishing them. He's standing up and he's telling it's wrong. Gold, you're telling gold is more important than the temple. Amen. They're hallowing the gold and ignoring the temple. Amen. And we see here, he goes on and on and on, and he's standing for what's right. He's standing against the religious crowd of his day. Amen. But we want to see that when it came to individuals, we see Jesus' gentleness was manifested in his dealings with the penitent woman in Luke 7. Notice the difference, how he dealt harshly against the religious crowd of his day because they should have known better, amen? But they were hypocrites. In other words, they were fakers. They were given the appearance of one thing, that they were righteous and right with God, and they were not. They were wicked in the inside. Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 37, we read this in the words of God, "And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." See, they couldn't understand. Jesus knew she was a sinner, but they couldn't understand, if Jesus knew that she was a sinner, why he would allow her to touch him, to wash his feet, and wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hairs of her head and kiss his feet and anoint him with that precious ointment. Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he saith, "Master, say on." And he says, "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said, "Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same liveth little. And he saith unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. And what he was trying to point out, Jesus, to this sinner was, to this Pharisee, who was also a sinner, as much a sinner as this woman was, but this woman realized she was a sinner. See? And that's why she humbly came to the Lord the way she did and ministered to him. With this other man who Jesus was a guest in his house, this Pharisee did none of those things. Why? Because he didn't see himself as a sinner, but he was just as much as a sinner as this woman was. Amen. And the Pharisee didn't feel like he needed to be forgiven. But this woman did. So Jesus is in his goodness, we saw stood up for what was right against what was wrong as he dealt with the money changers and the Pharisees. But he was gentle. His gentleness was manifested in dealing with this woman who was penitent, who realized she was a sinner and needed her sins forgiven. See, as we conclude our study today on goodness, we want to see that gentleness now gives you the ability to do good to and for others. Goodness, on the other hand, gives you the ability to stand for right simply because something is right, as we saw Jesus do. You see, many people can do things for others, but few there be who can stand for right for the good of all. This is the fruit of the Holy Spirit that can cause you to do right on the job, cause you to do right at school, by yourself, when doing your taxes, and even when rearing children. This goodness tells a child no when everybody else is doing it, amen. Jesus was not gentle when he ran the money changers out of the temple, but he was good. See? He was not gentle when he preached against the traditions and the heresies of the scribes and the Pharisees. But he was good. A preacher may not be gentle when he preaches against sin, but he's good when he does. See? We must see the difference between gentleness and goodness. Amen. Sometimes, amen, we may not be gentle, but we need to do good. We need to do the right thing. And oftentimes we'll come up against opposition, be it even within the church, be it in disciplining a believer who has fallen, amen. But regardless, we are to do good. Are you manifesting goodness, my friend? Can the Holy Spirit produce this fruit in your life? And the only way he can, my friend, is if you are yielded to him on a daily basis and allow him to have complete control over your life. That concludes our study on the fruit of goodness. Hope you'll join me next time as we continue our series on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Again, I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me. for the pastor's study. Until we meet again, may God richly bless you and good day.